This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Invest Talk, September 18th, 2014. I do appreciate you being with me. Our main mission is the same: give you an hour a day to access good information and give them some perspective to help you make better choices with your money. Better choices, not just choices in the stock market, but choices overall. Better choices, like staying out of debt. I know it's hard, but it's something you really should work toward. We talk about the intricacies of investing all the time. And at times I realize we get a little bit technical, but there are other money choices out there that impact your finances and your families. One item is, for grandparents who want to contribute to their grandchild's college education. They want to reduce the debt that their grandchildren are going to incur while they go to college, which is a great aspiration, okay? A great goal. But as I recently wrote in the newsletter, I wanted to clarify something for grandparents. Here was my main point. Grandparents do not qualify for lifetime learning credit or refundable American Opportunity tax credit unless the grandchild is their dependent. Okay, that child has got to be your child. You're raising that grandchild. So, be very careful. You still, as a grandparent, you still can reap some tax benefits if you give tuition directly to the university for your grandchild. Paying the school directly instead of donating it to a 529 program, what this will do, it will allow you to avoid the potential gift taxes if you plan to make significant contributions. Remember, the 2014 annual exclusion for gift tax is $14,000. So colleges, if you want to, let's say you want to help your grandchild and you want to pay for their college tuition, and you want to give them some money to live on during college. Well, you can do that and still not exceed the gift tax exclusion of $14,000. Okay, you can do it, but you got to pay the tuition directly. Then you can give the child some money, as long as it's not over $14,000. But you could have paid the whole college tuition for the year and still give your child maybe $14,000. But you got to check with a tax expert, a CPA. Don't go by what I say and take it as gospel. Too many changes happen in these tax laws for me to feel any comfortable about what I'm telling you. So just make sure you do. Consult a professional. Okay? Now, do you have questions about college savings plans? You can talk to us live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or between programs. Just leave your question. And here's the first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. I listen to your show via podcast every day. It really makes me think. My portfolio contains about 15% of small caps, and it appears to me that about half of all small caps have already corrected by about 20%. Under the theory that small caps lead the overall market, is this a good time to start buying small caps that have corrected, or wait until the general market corrects, which might bring small caps down even more? Just a quick question. Thank you again very much. Great show.
And that's a very intelligent question. Very intelligent question. Remember yesterday, just yesterday, we talked about the techs, about where the 47%, I think it was, of all small cap stocks have corrected more than 20% or more already this year. From their peaks, unlike large caps, unlike the S&P 500, the Dow 30, or even the NASDAQ. So the question is, since they've made this correction, is it time to start getting into them? And I can't say no. I can't say no, it's not time. What I'm looking at, checking out, and I check it every day, several times a day, is a Russell 2000, which is the small cap index. Okay, and I'm looking at it, and it peaked at a little over 1,200, 1,210, 1,215 Today it's 11:52, and just this month it came back from 11:20 all the way up to 11:82 in a month of July, and then it's starting to fall again. I mean, month of August, and then it's starting to fall again in September. So I'm thinking maybe not yet. Maybe not yet. Be very careful. And the reason why I want you to be careful with small casts is because they move first, up or down, and they move fast. Their moves are steeper up and down, as you pointed out. So this is what is so confounding about this market. They should be leading up first, not be lagging the S&P 500 or the Dow. They should be leading it, and they're not. They're well below their highs still, whereas the Dow, the S&P 500 are eking out new highs. So what's going on here? What's different? Well, it looks like to me there's still a lot of fear in the market, but maybe that's a good thing, because markets climb up a wall of worry. Maybe that's a good thing. It's very, very frustrating. Also, if you're looking at, historically, bonds lead the market. Bond traders are usually the leaders. And if you're looking at bonds, and you can do that looking at ETF, JNK or BND, you'll see that those things are falling sharply. If they lead the market, why isn't the market falling? It's going the opposite direction. Somebody's wrong, right? Very interesting things going on. It's because it's so unusual, because the Fed has done something that's extremely unusual. It's never done it before with all this QE and $4 trillion balance sheet. Never done that before. The market is not acting normally because it's looking at abnormal things to base its decisions on. So it's very difficult for us money managers as well. Don't think it's not. It is. Okay. There are questions nearly every middle-aged worker has asked themselves. Should I leave my job and retire early? What would I need? How do I know I'm ready? So that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Signs that you're ready to retire early. Are you ready? Can you do it? Well, I'll give you some things to look at to just help you make that decision. Also, I want to talk about housing starts this morning. They're out. Jobless claims were out this morning. I think it's something we should discuss. The reason why you hear me talk about the housing a lot. Well, number one, everybody's interested in it. Number two, it's also very impactful on our economy. So what's going on in housing is important. Also, there's a couple of statements by the IMF, comments made by them on our stock market, our stock prices. They don't usually get involved. They don't usually talk about it. IMF, International Monetary Fund, they don't usually get that involved on commenting on stock prices. So I think it's important. They must have felt it was important to do so. So I need to share that. Bond and stock investors see Janet Yellen's comments and the report that she did yesterday, and the statement, and then her press conference. They both see it differently. Bond investors and stock investors see it two different things going on. And what do I mean by that? Those are things I want to talk about today. Of course, first up is always what's on your mind. We want to talk about what's on your mind. Did you see the market? It went up 109 points for the Dow, 31 points for the NASDAQ, and 10 points for the S&P. Now, that is, if you're looking at the S&P, looks like it made a new high today, whereas yesterday it touched the new high and fell. Today, it looked like it eked above a new high today. But barely, but it was. Can't argue that. So the dollar, which has been gaining strength, is now... had a bump up yesterday, but it gave most of that back. And it's been trading sideways, really, for about a week, week and a half. So the dollar spiked in August. Spiked up. Why did it spike up? Well, because Draga in the European Union offered his form of stimulus, which really, after you read all the details about it, I don't think it's going to be much stimulating. It wasn't anything like our form, QE. I don't think he's going to have to do more than that if he wants to think he's going to stimulate the European economy. I just don't see that happening. Tomorrow, Alibaba starts trade. You see that they said this afternoon that they're going to open it up at $68 a share. Don't think you can buy it at $68 a share, because what the first trade will be, no one knows. But they're going to sell all these billions of dollars worth of shares to people who will buy it at $68, and then those people can start trading it if they want to. Now, also I noticed in this offering, the IPO offering for Alibaba, is that there's some restrictions on trading. On the people who are buying it initially, there's some restrictions. And on the other end, what's very interesting is usually insiders are restricted from trading the stock, IPO stock, for 6 months or so. Now, there are restrictions from insiders, but there's like $6 or $8 billion worth of stock that's not restricted by insiders to trade. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be watching this, you know, just at the first bell, first crack of the market, what Alibaba does tomorrow. Now, have you weighed in on your Twitter poll? There's a new way to get to the conversation on Invest Talk. Here's this week's question. Are you looking to tailor your portfolio to more socially responsible investing? Are you? We'd love to read your answer on the program. Send it via Twitter now at Invest Talk. That's Invest Talk with two T's. You can get your question to us at any time, any way, and you can even do it the old-fashioned way, which is to call at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk continues on this Thursday with portfolio manager Steve Peasley, a closer look at the wisdom of selling now. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. But there's still plenty of time today to get in touch. 888-99-CHART is how to get through on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's listen to James out of New York. Listen to us on podcast. How are you doing, James?
I'm well, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Oh, my pleasure. I had a question. I wanted to address the subject of J&J today. I noticed it reached a new 52 high of about 107 and some change.
Yes.
And my question is, do we foresee maybe perhaps a split in the future or somewhere down the road? And if two, would it be a two-for-one, three-for-one situation? Is there any way to have an idea if that could be coming for them?
There's really not, because that is totally up to the board of directors and the CEO. I can tell you historically, once it gets, it's probably not going to happen until it reaches more closer to the $125 to $150 area. And I say that because it's done that before, way back when it gets to that kind of level. Will it happen? No one really knows. There's been a strong lack of splits in the last few years. In the 1990s, splits happened all the time. But since about 2000 on, they've been much, much less prevalent out there. Still happens, but it seems like they are less prone to happen. And for everybody else, a stock split is where if it's $100 a share and they do a two-for-one split, and by the way, James, it'll probably be a two-for-one split if it does happen, okay? But what it means is if it does a two-for-one split, that means the stock price will be cut in half, and then instead of one share, you'll have two shares. So it's the same amount of money, you just have more shares. Okay, James, appreciate the call. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you. We're open to talking with you about any money matter, from beefing up your 401k to a beef you have with your bank to how about beef in the form of commodities. Did you know what's happening in the meat market out there? Commodity meat market? Call 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, a closer look at the wisdom of selling now. If you read the advice on the internet, you know that you should sell all your stocks right now. A billionaire predicts economic crisis beyond the Great Depression. The wisdom of selling now. That's our next talking point for Friday, September 20th. We hope you can listen to that podcast. You can sign up for our weekly premium newsletter, too. It comes out every Friday. Try it for a month risk-free. Just scroll down to the bottom of the page on investtalk.com. Now, let's get back to you and your questions on Invest Talk. Do you know you can listen to Invest Talk on your smartphone? Listen on the go with the TuneIn Radio app. There's a link to it right there on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Carmen out of San Diego. How are you doing, Carmen?
Oh, just fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, question is, I'm trying to go ahead and protect my gain on any stock that I buy, and I know some of them are susceptible to going ahead and splitting. How do you go ahead and maintain a stop if the stock splits and you don't know where it's going to split at?
Well, then it's interesting because what happened is many times your stop order will be canceled if the stock splits. So you got to re-put it in after the split.
Okay, so then you're not in jeopardy of losing the stock in case the price goes down below your stop order.
No, I've never heard of any custodian selling someone's stock because of a split, and because of the split, they hit the stop order. So, no, I don't think you have any danger of that, Carmen. Now, okay. The reason why I say I don't think is because I don't know every custodian's rules and regulations, but it would make no sense. And I almost 99.9% for sure they would not stop out your stock because of a split, but they would cancel your stop. Okay, they would send you, and they would cancel it because it's no longer valid.
Okay.
So just be aware, if you get a stock split and you have a stop in it, make sure you understand what day it splits, and reset your stop.
Now, do they announce the stock splits ahead of time?
Always. Yes. Sometimes weeks. So for instance, Apple, it was almost a month that they told everybody it's going to split in a month. And that's normal.
Okay. And then you have a certain amount of time in which to buy it if you want to get in on that.
Yes. Or sell it. They can sell it before the split, too. So, yeah, they give you that. They always give you lots of notice before it happens.
Okay,
Carmen?
All right,
thanks for the call. Very good question, by the way. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, do you think you want to retire early? Do you think you're ready? Are you? Well, let's talk about it for a second. You're not ready if you have a lot of debt. You're not. Because unless you have a ton of money, millions of dollars, and you have a lot of debt, but you can easily pay it off if you wanted to, you don't want to retire. The average person should not be retiring with debt. And I even include mortgage debt in this, by the way. Now, it's not true for everybody across the board, but debt in general should be retired by the time you retire. So if you want to retire early, you shouldn't have much debt. And have another one. Do you have the money to have you achieve the goals that you set for yourself, having the amount of money you need to retire on? And if you're going to retire early, don't plan on, if you have to take early withdrawal from your 401ks or IRAs, then you can't retire early. You shouldn't be retiring early because you're going to get penalized and taxed. You don't want to touch those retirement plan assets until you reach retirement age. So make sure if you're going to retire early, make sure that you have money set aside that's not going to make you tap into your retirement account. Another big issue, which is kind of crucial, is do you have health care covered? Remember, if you're retiring early, you're not getting health care coverage from your employer, you're going to have to go out and buy it, right? Medicare doesn't kick in until retirement age, so the 65. So you have to carry your own medical insurance. And trust me, a decent plan in your 60s is going to cost you a couple thousand dollars a month. So you got to make sure you have that covered. I think some people who have coverage through an employer and never think about it don't realize how much it costs to have a decent plan. I have a sister-in-law who's never had to worry about that until just now. And she's 50-something years old, and her husband is not going to be, may not have his job next year. And they probably could retire early, but they don't have, they've always had huge, very great coverage, medical coverage. And I talked to her about how much it's going to cost, and I said, you need to check that out, how much it's going to cost every month. So do you if you're going to retire early. Make sure you have a retirement budget in place, and it's easily attainable, that you can live within that budget. And do you have a plan to do something in retirement, especially retire early? You got to do stuff. You got to be busy. Just going fishing every day is not the answer. You know, it's not the answer. So the bottom line here is think about how much money you have, how much debt you have, and how much it's going to cost to retire, live in retirement. And I think most people underestimate this. So be very, very careful if you're going to retire early. Make sure you do all the math, think about all the variables, and great if you want to redo it. I tried it now in my 40s, and I'll say this. It was one of the worst decisions I ever made. You know, I was so bored in retirement. It was just boring. I was bored. Within a few months, I had to go back to work. Didn't like it. And that's why I don't plan on retiring anytime. Don't. If you live in Southern California, I'll be in the San Diego County on the 24th. If you like, if you would want to schedule a time with me to sit down and talk about your retirement accounts or your accounts in general, or if you want to retire early, that'd be the time to do it. I can take on a small number of meetings. Just go to investtalk.com and click on make an appointment. I'm looking forward to meeting with you.
Listening to Invest Talk with Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. This is your daily session with a money manager. Do you have a question? Our live listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Gene in North Carolina. Wants to talk about stock buybacks. How are you doing, Gene?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, my question is, when a company buys back its own stock,
yes,
I hear, you know, people say that increases their earnings per share because it lowers the number of outstanding shares of stock.
Correct.
And my thinking was that the year that they buy back their own stock, aren't they using money that would be earnings to buy stock, just like if they were using money to buy a building? I mean, does
yes.
that lower their earnings?
They could use that money to normally – you got it all right, Gene. Let's say you have a million shares of outstanding that is trading out there. These million shares are trading hand. And you as the company decide you want to buy back half a million of that. Okay?
Right.
So your dollar earnings per share doubles because you cut the number of shares out there in half. So that's what happens. Now, it's never that dramatic, but that's what happens, you know. So they could use that same money to buy that stock. Remember, they have to use that. Where's that money coming from to buy the stock? In this day and age, some of these companies are borrowing the money to buy back their own stock using leverage. They go out and borrow from a bank at 2, 3, 4%. They go buy back their stock with that money because it's cheap money that they borrow. And they artificially inflate their stock price. At the same time, now they have debt.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a good thing. But go ahead.
What I was also thinking was that the next year, let's say they had the same earnings the next year their outstanding shares have dropped by the amount they've bought back, and now even with the same earnings, their earnings per share would be boosted, wouldn't it?
Yes, it looks like they've done better than they actually have.
Right.
Then many companies are doing it, disguising their growth of earnings by buying back shares, and they're really not having growth of earnings. It just looks like it.
Right. So okay, hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Those are very good questions. I have some really good questions today. And so that's one of the things you have to look at from at a company is, okay, well, is the earnings per share because they're growing their sales and after they sell a lot more stuff, that's floating down to the earnings per share? Remember, earnings is after paying everything, how much money you made. Or is the earnings increases coming because they cut overhead? And they got rid of a bunch of employees and sold a factory or two, and that's how come their earnings went up, but maybe their sales didn't. And then there's the other way. Well, maybe they bought back their shares, and their earnings per share went up because they have less shares out there to split their earnings between. All those things you got to think about. Watch their debt. And sometimes, and the same thing is with dividends, you know, are they increasing the dividends because they made more money, or are they increasing the dividends because they borrowed more money to pay more dividends? Or did they increase the dividends because they cut overhead and they have more money? You see, there's all these things you have to look at. I wished it was easy. It's just not. And then prices get pushed around just by the overall market, supply and demand, and economic, I mean, on and on and on. So just be careful out there, everybody. Understand what you're getting into. Housing starts report came out. This is the housing starts for August. It was 956,000, under a million. That was very disappointing. They expected it to be a little over a million. And last month, the month before, July, it was 1.1 million. And just so you know, in 2008, it was like 2007, it was like 1.7 million before the recession, 1.7 million houses. Now, no one expects it to necessarily get that high. But we are extremely low on our housing starts. And this is at the same time the interest rates are starting to peak up. Have you seen the 30-year fixed mortgage rate now close to 4.25%? You know, it was close to just 4%. And even got just recently, a few weeks ago, it had a bit under 4%. And just so to remind you, a year ago last May, not this last May, but a year ago before that, 30-year mortgage rates got down to 3.35%. So mortgage rates are higher from that period. They got up to about 4.25%, and then they started to fall off this year, and now they're back the way they were this year. So that's what's going on in the housing. And also permits, which is kind of a leading economic indicator, so the future building of what's going to happen, permits were down 5%. 5%. Single-family homes, because the permits are for multi-family homes and single-family homes permits were only down 0.8%. Most of that was in multiple-family home permits going down. And why do I say that? Because you get a better economic boost from single-family homes. And at the same time that these housing stats came out, earlier this week we had the builder sentiment, and the builder sentiment actually was up. They're feeling better about what's going to happen in the housing industry. Another kind of contradictory thing. I think the housing market is just okay. It's steady. It's fine. You had a big spike up in July, if you remember right, in housing starts, and now we're back down to where it was before July. So August wasn't as bad as it seems if you smooth it out for the last 3 months. It's about right, about average what it has been. Okay? Just some interesting facts. I just love facts. I like sharing them, and I like understanding what's going on. Time for InvestTalk 101, the power of ETFs, exchange-traded funds. There are ETFs to get you into any global market, almost any emerging market. There are even ETFs that track volatility, ETFs that track real estate, commodities, currencies. ETFs almost do anything these days. Now, Commodities are an example of an asset class that was less, very much less accessible to retail investors just a few years ago. Prior to the advent of ETFs, it was very difficult for you to buy any kind of commodity, gold, any kind of commodity. Now, not so true. Before, you were kind of stuck in the futures market on commodity trading. Now, commodity prices usually rise when inflation is accelerating. Are we having accelerated inflation? No. So, making them an important hedge against rising prices. So, when you see that happening, you know, commodities might be a place to hide or get some good diversification. Commodity prices go up if the currency goes down. Well, what's our currency doing? It's going up, driving commodity prices down. So it's not a good investment. Though it is very good, commodities are very good for diversification. And major factors to consider in commodities, okay? Supply and demand of just whatever it is you're buying. I don't care if it's pork bellies, orange juice, supply and demand. Levels of the stock of those commodities. And for instance, right now, we have a very small herd of cows in the United States. One of the fewest, the smallest herds of cows we've had in a generation. So that means beef prices are going up. Currency exchange rates affect commodity prices. Level of inflation affects commodity prices. So those are things you need to look at and watch. Okay, and that's commodities. So our dollar is getting stronger, so maybe it's not so good to be in commodities right now. Inflation is nowhere to be seen. Maybe it's not so good to be in commodities right now. However, we have a surplus of sugar, that commodity, but not a surplus of cows. So you see supply and demand will affect prices. See, those, you really have to understand what you're getting into. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. Question about commodities or any other ETFs in general, you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note. That will come directly to me. Just click on the Contact Steve or go to InvestTalk.com or at InvestTalk on Twitter.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
How's it going, Steve? Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 24-year-old college graduate. I have about $15,000 saved up, and, you know, in the Bay Area, you want to get a house. So I was wondering, should I just put my cash away and save it, and, you know, maybe in a CD or something, you know, to make sure I have it there for a home in about 2-3 years, or should I actually just go for an invest in the stock market right now? Thanks a lot.
I would not invest that money in the stock market, no matter how bullish you feel the market's going to be. Because that's my opinion. To me, that's safe money. Money I want to invest in another type of asset that will increase in price, and that's your home. And you get to live in that asset. It's got a couple benefits there. And so I would save it. I would not expose it to the stock market. What if the stock market gets cut in half again in the next 2 or 3 years? And it could do that. I'm not saying it's going to. Wouldn't surprise me. But that's not something you want to risk. And, you know, it will come back. The market always comes back. But maybe you want to buy it sooner than it comes back, and now you don't have the money. CDs, I know you're not making much money in the CDs. I know that's not very fun. But I think that's a smarter use of the money, a smarter place to put it when you're talking about a money you're going to use for real estate. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. IMF, International Monetary Fund, made comments on our stock prices. They don't normally do that. They don't comment on stock prices in the United States or any assets, really. That's not what they do, but they did. And here's a quote. Valuations in virtually all major asset classes are stretched relative to past norms. Okay, this kind of reminds me of Greenspan's comment made in like 19, 98, I think it was, when he said the stock market was irrationally exuberant. And the market still went up for two more years. Now, I'm agreeing with IMF. Yeah, valuations are stretched. Uh-huh. Yeah. So? They've been stretched last year, and they're being stretched again this year. Yeah. So? That doesn't help making that. So they're worried about that. One of the things, the comments they made, they were worried about low volatility in their emerging market exchange rate and low volatility in U.S. interest rates. In other words, very stable, slow. No one's really worried about it. And they were making this comment in with a backdrop of an EU that looks like it's in recession, a China that's slowing down, a world with a lot of hot spots, militarily speaking, and yet markets ignoring these things. And they felt that this is not normal. Now, I'm surprised they even brought it up, though. I don't know if that's their place. Are they trying to manipulate the market, just like our Federal Reserve tries to manipulate the market? You can talk it, you know. What do you think Draghi is doing in the EU? He's trying to manipulate the market. He did very well with interest rates. Remember a couple of years ago that the interest rates of all sovereign debt in many countries across the EU were sky high, and then he said, we're going to do whatever the European Central Bank, ECB, will do whatever is necessary to protect the euro. Immediately, interest rates started to fall. He just talked. He didn't really do anything. He talked it. Interesting. So don't think that these governments and these central banks, IMF, don't think they don't try to manipulate. They do with what they say. You don't think Janet Yellen is? Of course she is. Of course. See, some people think that, well, the market's being manipulated. Well, you're kind of naive if you think it's not. Of course it is. You just have to learn how it's being manipulated, and you can understand. You can buy stocks as long as you understand what's going on. Anyways, that's my rant for the day, by the way. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. The KBP Premium Newsletter is coming out tomorrow. It comes out every Friday. An e-newsletter. It's a quick and easy source of investing information and perspective. It's easy to understand. It keeps you informed what's going on in the market, what's happening in the economies. And it's $9.99 a month. It comes out every Friday in your new bill. It's about 3 or 4 pages. You can sign up for a year at a discount if you want, or you can take it a month at a time and see if you like it. To subscribe, just go to investtalk.com.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is Invest Talk on radio and investtalk.com. Our listener line is open 24/7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5 or the playback anytime on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Now, here's a real puzzle I want to talk about before the end of the show. And it's fascinating to me. And as you know, I get fascinated by lots of things in the market and the economy. But why do bond and stock investors view Janet Yellen's statement, her decision on what she's going to do, why do they view it differently? Why do bond investors and stock investors view it differently? And you probably wonder, what do you mean why they view it differently? I'm going to explain that. Because they do. And it's so fascinating to me why. And I can prove it. And I'll prove it to you. Now, we're coming up on our last segment of the hour. And this is the time you want to get your questions into me. If you want to do it, now's the time. So let's try to do that before the end of the hour. Call us right now at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast.
Thanks for listening.
This is InvestTalk, and Steve is open to any money matter. Mutual funds exposure to software stocks hit all-time high in August. Should that be a signal to you? Something to talk to Steve about. 888-99-CHART is how to get through.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Ted in Burlingame. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing well, Steve. Yourself?
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Oh, Steve, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Uh-oh.
I have a question about my 401k.
Okay.
It was established with my previous company as a profit-sharing plan.
Yes.
And about a year ago, I left the company, and I'm going to reveal my age. I kind of put it on my savings on the back burner.
Okay.
But I still receive statements every once in a while. I'm not really sure what kind of direction I should take. I'm with a new company now. I don't know if I should continue to put savings into the old company 401k, or should I try to move that money into an individual, like my own plan, like a Roth IRA or anything of the sort.
Ted, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, so you're young. Okay, so a Roth would be a good thing for you, but I don't know if I would. You probably can't put money in the old 401k program, but you said it was a profit sharing plan?
Yes.
So I would probably, will they allow you to roll that into an IRA?
That's my question. I would like to call the company,
yes.
Not the direct company, but it's under the principal.
Okay.
And find out if that's an option.
And that probably is, you know, Ted. It probably is.
Okay.
You call the principal, and for everybody else, principal is a big insurance company and a 401k custodian out there. It's one of the biggest ones, principal. Call them up and you tell them who you are and tell them who your employer. They'll know exactly what you are able to do. And my guess is you'll be able to roll that into a IRA, and that's what I would do, so you can have control over those assets. Okay?
Yeah, ideally, yeah.
Then I think you will be able to do that. You know, pension plans, generally you can't do that, but they more and more often they're allowing people to do that. So I don't know, have an answer for you, but I do think you can roll it into 401k. And if you can, I would suggest that you do it. Now, don't necessarily put it in a Roth, because that means that money is immediately going to be taxed as income. Okay?
Okay.
So
yeah, that's my fear right there.
Yeah, so don't do that. Roll it into
if it becomes taxable.
You don't want that. So roll it into a regular IRA. Ted, I thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Good call. Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
Fine, Steve. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Steve, I want to know if I can buy MCHX. It fell down 45% today.
Wow. Okay, this is Marchex, Inc. It's out of Seattle, Washington. Provides online integrated performance-based advertising and search marketing services to small to large companies. It's a very, very small company, $172 million, but it is traded on the NASDAQ exchange. So, yeah, you can buy this. Now, the question is, should you buy this? Do you have – it looks like growth is very strong. Growth in earnings is 30 to 40% the last couple of quarters. So that's good. It's still pretty small growth. I mean, it's only $50 million, so don't think it's a big company. And why it pays a dividend, I'm not sure, but it has a dividend. It says it pays a 2% dividend. Such a small company, probably should do it. Management owns 22%, so you know they want to grow their own company. It tanked today. It really took a dive. I would, whenever a stock does this in a day, and it went from, what, like $7.50 to $4, I mean, that is, something happened dramatically. You wait, Jay, wait a few days to see if it settles down at this price. And then you make sure that you understand why it tanked, and is that a short-term problem, or is that some systemic problem that's going to stay with them and maybe you don't want to own the stock? So you got to find out and make sure you understand what happened. And, you know,
all right.
Will that problem go away? Maybe they lost a big client But now I don't, you know, that's possible. Or maybe the CEO was accused of fixing the books. Then that's a problem you'd stay away from. That kind of thing. Okay? Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Rick.
We're going to get to the bond and stock investors treating Janet Yellen differently. Why the market? We'll do that tomorrow. Sorry I didn't get to it. The calls come first, as you know, so that's why we can't get to all the talking points. I try to. Now, I want to answer your question, so I'll push our last talking point off to tomorrow, okay? I want to urge you to use our investment risk analyzer. Understanding your own capacity for risk is a good, you've got to have that as a foundation of what then what you're going to invest in. You can do it for free. It takes just a couple minutes. Just go to investtalk.com and risk, investment risk analyzer. You'll see it. Click on it. It will help you learn true tolerance for investment risk. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again tomorrow on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.